The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you're here. I love Sundays, and I don't know, there was just something special this morning hanging out in the lobby and seeing you and hugging you and fist bumping and whatever. It just, I love seeing you. Did you know that? It is so, so good to be with you. And I just want to celebrate the IF conference this last weekend. We had about 80 ladies that were here. I'm assuming a bunch of you, that's why you clapped. So, man, it was awesome. Like, I stopped in Friday night and peeked in. I wasn't allowed because I'm not a lady, but I peeked in and checked on it. And Lisa, she's been telling me stories and testimonies, just so, so incredible. And I want to remind you that Easter is 4 weeks away. Historically, Easter is the most attended Sunday of any church anywhere in America. And I know this year, it's still weird. Like, can I invite people to church, you know? And what are they going to think? And I don't know. Here's my message to you today, okay? Just get over it and invite someone to Easter. How about that? All right? Like two people. Frank, you like that? I'm going to keep looking at you because you're encouraging, Frank. Michael like that? See, no, really, though. Like, this would be a great year. People need some hope, right? Need some joy. We have that, right? We have that. So invite someone for Easter. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'll tell you a story. We're in a series about the promises of God, but I want to start with a story. Last summer, the girls and I, Lisa had something to do, and so the girls and I, when Lisa's away, we try to plan fun things, and so we planned a little getaway, me and our three girls. So down in southwestern corner of New Mexico, there's an area called the Gila Wilderness, and I had never been down there, and this won't surprise you, but there's a trap down there. It's called the Gila trout, and I wanted to catch it. And so we went down to the Gila and spent a couple of days, and we're driving the first day. We're driving, and I saw something crossing the road, and I didn't say anything to the girls. I just did a U-turn. They're like, what's going on? I said, hold on, just hold on. And we stopped, and we got out of the car, and we have a couple of pictures to show you, and we saw this tiny little thing. It looks like a brown little dot, right, that the girls are pointing at. So let me show you a better picture of what this was. It was a tarantula, okay? Ava, our middle daughter, she's just all into animals and science, and she's really good in school, and she knows more random facts than anybody in our family. I'll just tell you that. And so she began, because she knows a lot about tarantulas, to teach me about tarantulas. And she's telling me all these facts. Here was the one question I wanted to know. Can I pick up the tarantula? That's what I wanted to know. Her answer to me was, maybe. I said, Ava, I am not picking up a giant hairy spider based on a maybe, right? And we were where we were, Google didn't work. We couldn't look it up, okay? So all I had to go on was the maybe of my daughter. That's why it's on a stick, okay? That picture, it looks like, I'm not really holding it. It's on a stick. I'm telling you this story because here's the good news about the promises of God. They're not maybes, okay? You can count on the promises of God. I love this verse. I hope you're not getting tired of it, but Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope or to the promise, because he who promised is faithful. It's not a maybe, friends. You can hold to the promises of God. If you're new with us today, this is a tradition that we have almost every week at the kind of the beginning of the message. We pause to just, it's like 10 seconds to pray. And the point of this prayer, we've already prayed some prayers and sang songs and we've done a lot of stuff already, but the point of this prayer, it's really specific. It's to give us an opportunity to position our hearts to hear from God what he has for us today. I don't know what your Sunday morning looked like. I don't know what distractions you might have going on right now. But this is your chance to push it all aside and say, God, you have my total attention, all of my focus, and I'm asking you to speak to me today. How many of you would pray a prayer like that this morning? Why don't you join me 10 seconds right where you're seated. Father, we open our hearts right now. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to know what it is that you have for us today. So we ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let me ask you some rhetorical questions. You could talk about these at lunch today if you'd like, but just think about it. If you were stranded on a deserted island and you could only choose three people to be stranded there with you, who would you choose? Don't answer out loud, but if you're married, you should look at your spouse right now and say, you're definitely my first choice, okay? That'll get you some points. Here's another one. If you could have lunch with anyone, living or dead, anyone, you could have lunch with them, just hang out, talk to them, ask them questions, who would you have lunch with? How about this? If you had to spend the rest of your life with only five other people, who would you choose? That's problematic if you have five children and a wife, right? Who are you going to leave out? How about one last one? If you won $10 million, how many of you that would be okay if you did that? If you won $10 million, but the stipulation is you had to split that with four other people, who are you sharing that money with? Aren't these are silly questions, I know, to think about, but they probably won't happen. But if you, by the way, if you do win $10 million, you should tithe and then split with your friends, okay? These questions all have this in common. They're all centered around the idea of being with other people. Now, I have a belief, and you probably do too, that life is better together. Does anyone else believe that? I think it's more fun. It's just better together. In fact, I'm fairly confident that history will look back at the pandemic that we're, I don't know if we're through it or coming out or where we're at in it, but they'll look back at this season of our lives. I think history will tell this story. And one of the things that we'll say is that one of the lessons we learned is that life is better together, that we're meant to be together, that online meetings are worse than in-person meetings, right? That online church is not quite the same as being together, that online Easter is not the same as celebrating with your church family. I just think that we're going to look back and say, man, life is meant to be together. Today we're going to look at an episode in the life of Moses. You probably know him in the Bible. And in this episode, he makes a bold move to be with someone. We're going to start in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. And as we pick up, we're kind of picking up in the middle of a story because it's a long story. And here, Moses is talking to God. Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know with whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember," this is Moses saying to God, "remember," it's kind of funny that he's telling God to remember, "remember that this nation is your people." Pause for just a moment and notice the intimate relationship that Moses has with God. Just beautiful. They're interacting with one another. They're talking with one another. Moses says, "You know me by name." Can I just tell you today that God knows you by name? Like, isn't that pretty awesome to consider? That of all, everything going on in the world, all of the people in the world, he knows you by name. And Moses is talking to God. He says, "God, you know me by name." But Moses doesn't just talk to God. A lot of us are pretty good at talking to God. Moses listens to the Lord. The Lord replies in verse 14. This is so powerful. He says to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." What a promise, huh? Just try to wrap your mind around this. God says to Moses, I, God, will go with you, Moses. Not, hey, you come with me, but I will go with you. And then there's this promise at the end of that, that because I'm with you, you are going to experience rest. I think rest is so underrated. Isn't it interesting that as a child, most of us at least resist the idea of naps? Did any of you, or is that just me because I have ADHD? I don't know. It's like we resist it. Like, no. I mean, I'm telling you, all of our, our kids, they didn't want to sleep when they were, Mercy did. Mercy was a great sleeper. I take that back. But Ava, I can't even tell you. I'm like, I am going to tie you to your bed. That's what I, you know, Eden was not a whole lot better. And to be fair, they're still not much better. I mean, bedtime is a fight. And then you grow up, and I'll probably get some amens from this, and all you want to do is take a nap. Am I right? I mean, listen, if work allowed nap time, we would all take advantage. Am I right? I'm just telling you, it's like, it's so interesting how we resist it. We resist the idea of rest, and then we grow up and we long for it, but we can't seem to find it because we're so busy and there's so much hustle and bustle and things going on. There's so much striving in our world today. So much work. And yet God says to Moses, not only will I go with you, but I will give you rest. I don't think it's a far-fetched to say that it's easier to rest when you have the presence of God. That's what makes rest available, because now it's not just your own wisdom, but His. It's not just your own strength, but His. It's not your own, fill in the blank, creativity, your own joy, your whatever. All of a sudden, all that God has is available to you because His presence is with you. And because of that, our troubled hearts are allowed to rest. We just think about all of the benefits of being in God's presence. I sat down a few weeks ago and just started a journal entry with, in God's presence, I find. And I just started listing things. You should try it. It's amazing. I wrote down things like, in God's presence, I find peace. In God's presence, I find joy. In God's presence, I find strength. I find wisdom. I find freedom. I find identity. I find redemption. I find healing. And you could just keep going and going and going in the presence of God. And he says to Moses, my presence will go with you. And watch what Moses replies. He says, then Moses says to him, I love this line, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses is like, I want your presence. This line caught my attention several weeks ago. I was reading through Exodus, and this one line caught my attention. This is the one line that really caused me to begin to dig in to this passage. If your presence does not go with us, the New Living Translation says it this way. I love it. If you personally do not go with us, don't make us leave this place. The Message version says this, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now. Isn't that great? Like Moses saying, I want to be where your presence is. I'm going to tell you one of the problems that I see in the modern church. Here's what it is. It's probably not you. It's probably other churches, but just in case. Too many people are making their own decisions and living their own lives. I think this is the problem in the modern church, is we think that our lives are our own. We think our decisions are our own. We think we can do whatever we want, because after all, we live in America, right? Not America, but America, right? We live in America, right? Land of the free, home of the brave, the land of opportunity, right? I mean, we literally teach our children as they're growing up, you can be anything you want to be. You can make it in this world. You can go to school and get a job or start a business. You can build a fortune. You can become famous. You can be successful. And while I'm very thankful to live in America, and the opportunities that we're afforded here. I think that this attitude clashes with the message of the gospel. It's led us to believe that we can just design our own lives. That we can just decide where we want to work and where we want to live and who we want to be with and what we want to do. It makes us think, and here's where I think that the gospel comes in. I think that God cares about where you live. I think God cares about where you work. I think he cares about who you spend time with. I'll get down even to smaller details. I think God cares about who you eat lunch with today. Like, there might be a divine opportunity, right? There might be a conversation that God has been designing that you would have with another person. But if you just decide that you're going to live life your way, then the opportunity is missed. And the problem, here's the problem with making your own plans. Jeremiah talks about it. Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked." I know you probably think you have a good heart, because after all, you came to church on Sunday, right? All the other heathens, I mean, they stayed home, or they went to what, I don't know where they're going because hardly anything's open, but they're doing something ungodly and you're here. But I just need to remind you today that Jeremiah pegged it. Like, you have a wicked heart. It's a deceitful heart. It causes you to believe that you think you're good, right? That's where it begins. You deceive yourself. And then you think, because you think you're good, that you can make up your own mind and you can design your own life and you can make your own decisions. What if, like Moses, we said, "I'm not going anywhere without your presence"? What if, like Moses, we said, "Unless you're in this, I don't want any part of it"? Even Jesus lived this way. Think about it. The Son of God, this is how he lived. John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, "I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it." I'll just admit that there are days that I say things that I'm pretty sure God didn't tell me to say. Anyone else? I'm trying to say, what if we lived like Jesus, right? And we said, "I'm not going anywhere without the presence of God. I'm not going to say anything without the presence of God. I'm not going to do anything out of my own ambitions. I'm just going to follow where he goes." John, here's another one, chapter 5, verse 19. "I tell you the truth, the Son," talking about Jesus, "can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does also." What if we just followed the example of our Heavenly Father? I will tell you, it would be a very challenging life to live. Like, you'd have to love everybody, not just the people that agree with you. You'd have to forgive everybody, not just the easy ones, right? Not just the stranger who cut in front of you, but the person close to you who hurt you deeply. What if we lived the life? What if we followed our Heavenly Father? What if we woke up every day and instead of saying, "What do I want to do?" what if we said, "What does God want us to do?" We've been in the middle of building a house, and Pastor Jace and his crew have been helping me, and Joe and several of the guys, and it's kind of become a joke the last couple weeks, because at like 9 o'clock in the morning, one of us will say to the other, hey, and they'll go, what? "What's for lunch today?" It's 9 o'clock, right? Here's, just so you know, here's my theory. If I know at 9 what I'm going to eat at 12, I work better from 9 to 12, right? It's my theory, right? But the idea kind of enforces that I just get to decide, right? Today I want pizza. Today I want Chick-fil-A. Today I want whatever, right? And I'm not saying you don't get to make up some of your own mind. I'm just saying, what if, like Moses, we said, I'm not going anywhere without your presence? And as amazing as this is the line that really caused me to dig in. I actually don't think it's the best part of the account. If you go back with me a few verses, I want to show you something. Still in Exodus chapter 33, but now I'm going to go back to verse 7. And it shows us what's going on right before Moses makes this statement. It says, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away and called it a tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So get this picture in your mind. The Israelites are following the cloud and the fire. I'll show you that in a second. They're following, and they would pitch their camp. And when they pitch the camp, Moses, who's leading the people, would put a tent outside of the camp. It was called the tent of meeting. And if someone wanted to know what the will of God was, what his opinion was on a particular subject, they would go to the place, to the tent of meeting, where the presence of God was, and they would seek the presence of God. I love that it was the tent of meeting. You need a place where you can meet with God. I hope you have a place. I hope you have a place where you know you can meet with God. I don't know, maybe it's a comfortable chair, right? I've known a lot of people, and it's like, this is my chair where I sit and I spend time with the Lord. And here's the deal, the chair is not really that special. It's become special because it's a place of meeting. It's a chair of meeting, right? I hope you have a place. I mean, the good news of the New Testament is that you can meet with God anywhere. Maybe you have a special room, right, where you meet with God. Maybe it's in your car on the way to work every day. Maybe there's a parking spot, and you get to work 15 minutes early to get that spot. But in that spot, that's where you meet with God. Maybe it's a river. Maybe it's a mountaintop. You know, maybe it's a cup of coffee at your kitchen table. Here's what I'm telling you. You need a place where you can meet with God. Ava and the girls were up at our new house we're building this weekend. And Ava said to me, we're part of the design of the house is we're up on top of the petroglyphs. And so we're building a rooftop deck so that we can take advantage of the view. I mean, we see the whole city from up there. And Ava came to me and she said, Dad, I like to pray for our city. Can you imagine, this was her talking to me, can you imagine how cool it's going to be when we finish our house and we can go up on the deck and we can look out across our city and we can pray for our city? I'm just, like, I love that my children have already designated a spot in our house where they are going to meet with God. I'll tell you, I had already claimed that spot. She just didn't know it. I'm just saying, like, you need a place where you can meet with God. And watch this, verse 8. And whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people, watch what would happen, would rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses as he entered the tent. As Moses, this is so cool, as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance, they all stood and worshiped, each at their own entrance to their own tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one talks to a friend. Isn't this cool? Everyone's standing in their own tent and they're watching Moses as he enters the tent. And as he does, a cloud, a visible cloud would come down. Do you remember the pillar of cloud in the story of the Israelites as they're headed to the promised land? Go way back in Exodus to chapter 13. And as the people of God are fleeing captivity and they're beginning this journey to the promised land, God leads them in an unusual way. It says this, by day the Lord went ahead of them. Aren't you glad that God goes ahead of you? Prepares a way for you? gets things ready for you, right? Mows down enemies ahead of you, right? Creates favor ahead of you. Isn't that awesome? It says this, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light. So they would travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This cloud is leading the people of God. And that's the same cloud that now we go 20 chapters later to the tent of meeting. That same cloud that they've been following around all of this time comes and rests at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And I think this is pretty cool because they are comfortable with this cloud. They're following this cloud. Every day they're seeing this cloud. And it's not just a cloud. It represents the presence of God. And now that familiar presence is resting at the tent of meeting to signify to them that the presence of God is interacting with Moses. I've often wondered what it would be like if that still happened today, right? What if all we had to do was get up and follow a cloud? Right? Like, what if we all had our own little clouds, right? And we just followed our cloud, and wherever it went, we knew this is the presence of God. This is where He wants me, right? There would be no question that He wanted me to eat at Chick-fil-A. The cloud would be there, right? That's just how it works. I think it lives there. Anyway, so what if you just followed the cloud? The reality is this. The reality is we don't have a cloud to follow. But we have something better. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if we will pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, He will prompt you where to go. He will prompt you what to say. He will prompt you to not say anything. He will prompt you what to post, right? He will prompt you who to call. He will prompt you who to text. Are you following me? Like, you don't have to have a cloud because the Spirit of God now lives inside of you. Fast forward now to Exodus 33 again. We're back in Exodus 33. And that same cloud comes down, and the people can see it as Moses is in the tent talking face to face, it says, with God. And now, this is what I think is the most amazing verse in this account. It says this, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses is the one that a few verses later makes the statement we've already talked about, that I'm not going to go without your presence. But Joshua proves this same idea. Joshua would not leave the presence of God. Now, at this point, Joshua, I mean, truthfully, he's kind of a nobody. I mean, he's pretty low on the ladder. He's the aide to Moses. He's an assistant, right? He really hasn't done anything great yet. Now, later, Joshua becomes famous. You might remember the story where Moses sends 12 spies in to check the land of Canaan, and they come back, and 10 of them are like, they're freaking out, right? They're like, oh my goodness, Moses, we can't go there. They're giants. We're like grasshoppers to them. Ah, they're freaking out. Do you remember this story? But what did Joshua and Caleb, these are only two, they're like, oh no, no, we got this, Moses, right? And you begin to see something different in Joshua. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. He sees things that other people don't see. He's being led in a way that other people are not. There's something different. And later, Moses, he dies, and Joshua becomes the leader of Israel. And Joshua is the one that successfully leads them into the promised land. Joshua is the one that led them to march around the city of Jericho and defeat the army there. Joshua is the one that he's obedient when they're in a battle at Gibeon. And God does this miracle where He makes the sun stand still for a whole 24 hours so they can completely wipe out their enemies. Joshua is the one, you know this statement. He said, choose today who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Joshua has a great highlight reel. I mean, he's just got a great set of stories. Like, we preach them, we read them, we talk about, like, Joshua's got a lot going on. So let me just pose a question for you to ponder. Did Joshua become a great leader because he spent time in God's presence? Or did he spend time in God's presence because he was a great leader and he knew that he needed the presence to accomplish his calling? I don't actually know the answer to it. Here's the lesson that I do see in Joshua. If I want God to use me tomorrow, I need to spend time in God's presence today. Young people, y'all need to catch this, but young people, when you're young, you have all these dreams and aspirations, and I'm going to change the world, and God's going to use me, and I'm going to, whatever your dream is, here's what I'm telling you. If you want God to use you tomorrow, it means you got to spend time in his presence today. Let me say it this way. There is no substitute for God's presence. It's nothing. There's nothing that can take the place of the presence of God. Let me just show you a few verses. I'm just going to read them to you. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, God says, I will be with you. That's the presence of God. Psalm 23, you know Psalm 23, most famous psalm, verse 4, it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. Your presence is with me. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus is giving the disciples something we now know as the Great Commission. He's telling them, go into all the world and make disciples. And he ends it with this, I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, here's your job and the promise is my presence is going to be with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do? God's with me. Philippians 4:13, you know this one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? These are promises of God's presence. Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. There's no substitute for the presence of God. Think of the qualities of a great leader. Like, think about the best leader that you know and think about the qualities. Maybe you're thinking of things like charisma and vision and integrity and they're inspiring and they're strategic and they have wisdom and they're authentic and they're a great communicator. They're responsible. They're dependable. They're patient. They're tenacious. Like, just whatever. Just think of all the characteristics of a great leader. Listen, these and any other characteristic that you can think of are all poor substitutes for the presence of God. I take the presence of God over tenacity any day. I take the presence of God over wisdom any day. They're poor substitutes. I don't know if this ever happens to you. I like sweet tea. Anyone like sweet tea? I like sweet tea. Sometimes, I didn't have this problem, by the way, when I lived in Texas. Like, everyone in Texas serves sweet tea. I mean, just everyone, okay? I didn't have this problem, but here, sometimes I have this problem, is we'll be ordering, and they'll come to get drinks, right? And sometimes I'll go, do you have sweet tea? I cannot stand when the waitress or waiter says this, no, but I can bring you sugar with unsweet tea. I want to get up and slap them in that moment, okay? Because it is such a poor substitute. Do not bring me colored water with sugar and tell me that it's sweet tea, because it is not the same. All right? It's not the same. The other day, I called an order in to Rusty's Taco. I love Rusty's Taco, all right? I called an order in. I said, I'd like to add queso. Come on, somebody. It's another problem. Texas, man, that Tex-Mex, all about the queso. New Mex is all about the green chili, right? And I said to Rusty's, I said, add some queso to my taco. And I could not believe the words that they spoke to me in that moment. I mean, I felt violated. They said to me, sir, we are out of queso. Oh, my heart dropped. And then, like salt in a wound, they said, could we substitute guacamole for your queso? What in the world? Listen, you might like guacamole, but it is a poor substitute for queso, okay? Some of you disagreeing with me right now. It's okay. You can be wrong, okay? I ordered French fries the other day. They said, sir, we don't have any French fries. Can I bring you a side salad? What? Are you kidding me? Those are like not even in the same. No, you can't bring me a side salad, right? I'm just trying to illustrate to you today. There are some things that are really poor substitutes. There is nothing that can substitute for the presence of God. There's nothing. There's nothing like the presence of God. So what I want to do in the last few minutes is I want to talk to you about four decisions that we can make, right now, today, to support a healthy pursuit of the presence of God. Here they are, four decisions. Number one, I will follow God. Here's where we begin, is this. I'm not in charge of my own life. I will follow God. It's kind of like getting married, okay? When you get married, all of a sudden, you don't get to make your own decisions without considering the other person that you're married to. Am I right? Wives, just kick your husbands right now, right in the shin. It's okay. When I was, we were pretty young. We had just had our last child, Eden. We knew that was it. We talked about it. We said, that's it. And for the longest time, I had told Lisa, when we're done having kids, I want to get a tattoo and celebrate our family. She never said no. She never said that was a bad idea, right? She just listened to me. So I can't tell you the whole story, but one night, shortly after having Eden, I knew we were done, and I found myself in a place where there was a really famous tattoo artist. And he happened to have an opening in his schedule. And I said, I'm thinking about kind of a tattoo to celebrate my family. He goes, oh, like this? And he whips something up on a piece of paper. I'm like, and I looked at it, I said, it's like you got in my brain and you found the image I didn't know was there and you put it on paper. That's what I want. He goes, well, you know what? I have time because I had a cancellation. I'd love to do it for you. And I'm like, I can't afford you, I promise. He goes, on the house, Pastor. I felt for sure that was the Holy Spirit saying yes. It was like 1 a.m, which, by the way, nothing good happens after midnight. My youth pastor taught me that. I called my wife. She didn't answer. It was 1 a.m. She didn't answer, but it was 1 a.m. I took her silence as a yes. I got the tattoo. I come home, I go to sleep in my shirt. The next morning, I'm preparing for the great unveiling of the masterpiece of the Dickinson family tree. I showed my wife, and she said, what in the world were you thinking? I said, it's pretty cool, right? She goes, I don't know why you think your body is your own. I thought it was. She said, your body is my body. We're married now. You don't get to just make decisions like this. I said, I did call you. You could check your phone. Just so you know, we've worked through this. It's all good now. Okay? This is the idea. Is like, we just think we can make our own decisions. That's the mistake I made as a young married man. He's like, I can just do what I want. I can make my own decisions. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's in a passage that's actually talking about sexual immorality, but it illustrates this. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Here's what I'm telling you. The beginning point of pursuing the presence of God is really, it's just simple. It's deciding, I will follow God. He's going to be the king. He's going to be the decision maker. He's in charge. I will follow God. Here's the second decision. I will be patient and wait for God. I will be patient. This is where it gets hard. It's so tempting to get ahead of God. It's so tempting to figure things out on our own. It's so tempting to create our own solutions. But can I just tell you, something happens in the waiting. Something happens as we're waiting on God. The waiting prepares you for the battles ahead. Sometimes that's why God hasn't answered you yet. It's not that he doesn't have an answer. It's that you're not ready yet. It's that there's a preparation that needs to happen. There's another guy in the Bible, David, who has a long list of accomplishments. And look what he wrote in Psalm 40. He said, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Listen, I'm just trying to help you today. When you decide to follow God, you're also deciding to follow on his timetable. I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord. I'm going to wait. Remember Jesus? I say what God tells me to say. Moses, I'm not going to go without your presence. It's this idea. I'm going to wait. And when you tell me to go, then I'm going to go. And when you tell me to stop, I'm going to stop. And where you tell, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go out there and create my own path. I think there's too many Christians who are just making their own path and then asking God to bless it. There's something very different about asking God to bless decisions you've already made and just finding out where he's sending you and getting in line with what his plan for your life is. I wait patiently for the Lord. Here's number three. I will prioritize God's presence. I'll prioritize. Listen, there's a lot of things pulling at you every single day. Many of them are really good things, okay? Most of the things pulling at you, they're not even bad. They're not evil. They're not sinful. There's just a lot pulling at you. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. Say that word, first. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Listen, it's okay for you to have dreams. It's okay for you to have passions. It's okay for you to have desires. It's okay. You know, the other day, we were working on the house, and Jace has these two high school boys, you know, that work for him. And Jace and I were up on stilts, and this high school kid, he's looking at us up on stilts, and he says, you know, one of the things on my bucket list is to hang out with a 7-foot-tall man. Simultaneously, Pastor Jason and I said, you need a better bucket list. And then we said, we're glad we could fulfill your wildest dreams today, because we were both up above 7 feet at that point. It's okay for you. I hope you're dreaming higher than that, okay? It's okay for you to have dreams. You should have dreams. The question is, who's in first place? Matthew says, seek first the kingdom. Who is in first place? And if you look at Joshua proved who is in first place because he would not leave the tent. He said, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I want to be. I want to spend time in the presence of God. He prioritized the presence of God. Here's the last one, number four. I will develop habits to support the pursuit of presence. I will develop habits. Here's what I'm telling you, okay? It's not just gonna happen, right? Anything worthwhile in life is going to require some effort, some intentionality, some decisions. Here's what I'm telling you. You're going to need, if you're going to prioritize the presence of God, you're going to need to put some habits in your life to support that pursuit. So let me tell you some habits that would help you, okay? Here's four things, and I'm going to give you four more, okay? Four habits They can help you to pursue the presence. Number one, they're so simple. I will spend time in God's presence every day. This will help you. If you just determine, I'm going to spend time in God's presence every day. Now listen, don't get religious and dogmatic and zealot. Listen, it doesn't always have to be 4 hours starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, all right? I mean, that's kind of, I grew up in that culture of like, if you're not up at the crack of dawn, you've missed the presence of God. No, listen, I'm just saying like some days it's an hour, some days it's 5 minutes. I'm just saying like this attitude of Moses, I'm not going to go without your presence. I'm not going to live life without your presence. I'm going to spend time every day in the presence of God. Here's the second one. It'll support the first one. I will spend time in God's word every day. Think of the things you do every day, right? Like you shower every day, I hope, right? You brush your teeth every day, I hope, right? You do things to stay healthy. You put these habits in place. I'm just telling you, I know this is probably the other church, but most Christians, they'll check their Facebook every day, but they won't get in God's word every day. And then they wonder why their lives are so crappy. They wonder where the joy is at, and they wonder where the peace is at, and they wonder, well, you're putting your heart, you're filling your heart with all kinds of nonsense and just stuff going on, and you're not feeding it with the truth of God, with the promises of God. I'm just saying, like, when you just decide, I'm gonna spend time in God's word every single day. Here's the third one. I will surround myself with godly influences to encourage, support, pray for, and hold me accountable. In other words, I'm going to find some men to be in my life, right? Listen, man, I know it's hard for you to be open and honest and accountable, and you like to act like you've got it all together, but we all know you don't have it all together, so just go ahead and find some other men that you can tell, because you'll feel better, that you don't have it all together, and ask them to help you, and you help them. This will help you in the pursuit of presence, because then you're going to call them with something going on, and a godly man in your life, they'll listen, and they might give you some advice, but at some point they're going to go, have you prayed about this? They'll go, I was praying for you the other day. Let me share a scripture that I felt God put in my heart for you. They're going to feed you God's word. I'm just telling you, you need to be surrounded by godly influences. And here's the fourth one, and I know I'm telling the wrong crowd this, but maybe people online will listen. I will go to church regularly and faithfully. I'll go to church regularly and faithfully. I'll just quote Pastor Lisa, because if you quote someone else, then it's their fault and not yours. She said to the IF ladies this weekend, she said, if you can go to the grocery store, you can go to church. Just remember, sweet Pastor Lisa said that. Do not send me hate mail. Send it to her, okay? Something's happened this last 18 months. Y'all know. It's not just church. Like, whole routines have been thrown off. And, I mean, it's like we're not living life the same way. And there's some good things to that. Like, there's some things about that that they needed reset, right? But I'm just, and this isn't even me trying to get you to come to this church. Like, go to any church. Just go regularly and faithfully. It's gonna help you in your pursuit of presence. Like, I know, again, you're the wrong crowd. But doesn't it feel good to come in and worship with other people? Like, you don't get that in your living room, I'm telling you. Like, I know it's only 60 seconds, but like, doesn't it feel good to go, you know, and fist bump someone and see in their eyes, you know, there's someone there. Like, we're not just all on screens. Like, isn't it feel good, like, to admit to someone, oh my goodness, I had a rough week, can you pray for me? Like, I'm just telling you, like, I'll go back to this idea. You were designed to be together. You were designed to live life with others. You were designed for this. And in the pursuit of presence, if you'll just commit, I'm gonna make church a priority. Harvest, what if we were a church that just like truly prioritized the presence of God? Like, what if the cloud rested at our door every time we met, right? The presence of God. What if we realized that we're not in charge of our own lives and that He has an amazing plan for us? Can I just tell you one more thing about the presence of God? There's no such thing as too much presence. Like, there's just some things in my book you can't get too much of. Like, you can't get too much barbecue. I'm just telling you. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, I could just do it all day, every day. Just you might disagree. You're wrong. It's okay. You can't laugh too much. Am I right? Like, no one left, you know, after a night with friends of just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and got in the car and said, honey, that was too much laughing. I feel awful, right? Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, no such thing, right? You cannot catch too many fish. It's not possible. I've tried. I'm going to keep trying. It's not possible. Like, here's what I'm telling you. I'm having fun, but there's no such thing as too much presence. Like, oh my God, too much of you. Right? It's never happened. When we get in the presence of God, we're saying more, more, more. God, I want more. God, help. God, more. Like, there's no such thing as too much. So why don't you stand with me? Our worship team's ready. They're going to lead us. We're going to spend the final minutes of our time together in worship. We're going to invite the presence of God to come. And I haven't done it yet. I don't know if any of you noticed, but we have a theme verse for this year. I haven't even said it yet today. Have you noticed that? Did anyone notice that? You didn't notice. It's okay. It's all right. Here's our theme verse for 2021. James chapter 4, verse 8. Let's put it. Do we have it on the screen? Come near to God, and He will come near to you. It's a presence, right? Get in the presence of God. Initiate the presence of God, and He comes to you. So that's what we're going to do in these final moments. And I'm just asking you, will you join me in pursuing the presence of God? Will you join me in these final minutes? And, you know, I don't care if you sing or if you pray or if you meditate or if you, I don't know. Like, I'm inviting you, like, let's engage the presence of God. We prayed it earlier. We said, God, I'm here to hear from you today. Will you speak to me? I hope He already has. But in these final moments, I'm just telling you, God has some specific words for some of you. Some of you came today hoping, wishing, man, I hope He gives me this answer today. God, I hope you tell me about this today. God, some of you came in today saying, I want to hear the voice of God. This is it right now. I'm just telling you, this is the time. This is the space. This is when it happens. We're going to come near to God and He's going to come near to us. How many of you are ready to do that? Are you ready? All right, let me just pray, and our worship team's going to lead us. Father, God, I thank you so much for your presence. We do not take it lightly that as we've gathered here today, that you are here in our midst. You're here. Well, like Moses, we say, I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. Like Joshua, we're kind of digging our heels in right now. We're saying, I'm not leaving this place. I'm not leaving without your presence. I'm not leaving without hearing your voice. I'm not leaving without experiencing all that you have for me. Lord, as a church, we're prioritizing the presence. We're prioritizing you. God, I'm so thankful that you're not just a concept. You're not just pie in the sky. You're not just ethereal. Like, you are real. You're a God who knows us by name. You know the things that we're working through right now. You know the thoughts. You know the struggles. You know what's going on. And you care. You don't just know, but you care. And so now, Lord, we take that first step towards you. And Lord, on behalf of the whole church, I claim the promise of James 4:8 that as we come near to you, that you would come near to us. I pray that in these final minutes that we would hear your voice, sense your presence, feel your presence, be surrounded by your glory, be surrounded, Lord, by your joy, be filled with your Spirit today. Lord, that everything that our hearts are longing for would be filled up in these final moments as we just... we rest in your presence. God, I pray that word over people today, that we would find the rest of God. I pray for those that came in today just tired of all the striving and the working and the accomplishments, and today that we would find the rest of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, join us. Let's worship for a few moments.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.